Welcome to the Flyover Ministry Podcast, a practical youth ministry podcast for small church leaders by small church leaders. We are grateful that you have joined us for our journey through ministry-related topics that we hope help equip and encourage you as you serve Jesus wherever you are.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm the one with the company car. I am the one swinging at two below par.
I'm the one swinging that you will go far. Yeah, check this out. I want the one that
he's got it. He's got it.
Yeah, give me some Reliant K.
Tell me you're joking.
No, that's Reliant K has incorporated that in one of their songs.
Oh, I have a? Okay. I was going to say, that's not the original musician. I thought that's what you were implying, was that
they were the ones who
wrote that.
Like, for a long time, I thought DC Talk was, like, the people singing It's the End of the World and We Know It.
Really?
Yes. It was part of their Jesus Freak on Tour album.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think of who the actual artist is of that, but it's definitely not DC Talk.
No, this is also the result and consequences of somewhat of a bunker mentality from last week. Just saying. Anyways,
have you won Monopoly and forfeit your soul?
I did not have to forfeit my soul to do it, but I have won Monopoly. You can ask my brother-in-law about it. I whooped his bum.
Which brother-in-law? Ryan?
Ryan, yes. I beat him so bad that the bank did not have enough money for what he owed me.
Wow.
So that was good.
Wow. But
we are talking not about K cars and Monopoly and K cups to bring it into the 21st century. We are talking about supporting parents. And today's topic is going to be looking at the resource we have for parents that are parents. And to kind of frame this for us, there is a passage that I should have looked up the reference, but I did not look up the reference, so that's on me. I believe it is in Corinthians, but in this passage, it talks about how we have endured things that we can be a comfort. We have received God's comforts that we can comfort others. And basically, the thought behind this is that when we're dealing with parents and trying to support parents, there are some times that our kids, believe it or not, are going to make unwise choices and can bring families into chaos. Sometimes it's drugs. Sometimes it's relationships. Sometimes it is all sorts of different things. And, you know, in that moment of crisis, as we're synthesizing 2 Corinthians 1, 4 through 6, Dan looked up the reference for me, or he just is like a walking
thing. I knew. It sounded like Corinthians, and I believed it was second. And I was like, okay, well, I wonder. And right away, just right there.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, I was quoting a biblical principle. Woohoo! So, anyways, one thing that this hasn't been consistent for me. It's not an ongoing thing. And sometimes this could be site-specific as well. So, for example, the congregation that I'm in now had a season where there were multiple families that were adoptive parents or foster families. We still have a couple of adoptive parents. And there is unique struggles with adoptive families that are just very different than what you'd have in completely biological families. Not to say anything bad about it. I have four adopted siblings myself. In my family, so it's something that I've grown up knowing. But there is a time in an adoptive child's life where they really are wrestling with, why didn't my parents keep me? Why wasn't I wanted? And that often comes during like these years of personal formation where everything is kind of crashing around you too. So you want to talk about a time of chaos. This is a recipe for that. And in this time of searching, they can respond in multiple different ways. They can push boundaries and say, I'm going to see if this person loves me enough to keep me. Or they're going to go down into like self-rejection of like, there must have been a character flaw in me that made my parents not want to love me or keep me. And so it can manifest in a lot of different ways. And for the adoptive parents, they can just be sitting there like, how on earth do I handle this? Like, they're sleeping around. They're trying to find validation. They're into drugs. They're just, they won't talk to me and everything like that. And in those moments, it can be so dark. It can be so lonely. But you may have within your congregation parents who have already been through that. They've been through the dark season. They've made it through. They've learned from their mistakes, and they have a lot of wisdom to share. And so in this concept for today is creating a space where you can bring parents together to do this journey side by side, where you're bringing in an opportunity for those who've done the journey to be able to say, yes, I live that. You're not going crazy. This is normal. This happens. Here's how we did it. And let's walk with you through this. So in this sense, it's really more of a facilitation of relationships and connections. When I was in my previous congregation, we actually for a season had a group that would meet. There was a couple of students that were dealing with drug issues. And there was a couple of parents who had walked through that. And so we created this opportunity for some of the parents with the younger kids that were in the midst of it to have these kind of mentors and wiser people walk with them and say, hey, here's what we are, what we've done. And here's the questions and traps that we fell into as parents, blaming ourselves and stuff. And here's what we learned about forgiveness and what we learned about all these different things. Here's treatment options. Here's good counselors, bad counselors, and all this information that is so valuable that you can provide a family that won't have to like learn it for themselves the hard way. And that is a huge opportunity and resource that might exist in your congregation, and one that could be applied in many different ways, you know, different topics and stuff. So this concept of bringing parents together to help one another.
Yeah. And I think there's a worth pointing out here that we're not talking about like seminar mode. Like you don't want parents just talking to one another. What we're really talking about here is Galatians 6, where we bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. I love this specific topic that we're talking about today, because really what we're talking about is allowing the church to have a greater opportunity to be the church, to support one another in our weaknesses, in our shortcomings, especially when it comes to the shortcomings in knowledge of just, I don't know what to do here. I'm struggling. And even if that's something as significant of a topic as like what Jordan is talking about, like he used the example of adoption, you could have a large number of people that might have gone through an abortion. And you don't know that. And they need a place, especially at the church, where they are able to receive comfort and healing from the body of Christ. Because I think sometimes, especially when it comes to some of these things, like the people who have gone through some of these actions, they keep it secret from their church because they are afraid of how their church is going to react and treat them moving forward. So what you want to do is, really what comes to mind, especially when we talk about this, is AA. Not necessarily in the accountability sense, but just the conversation of, hey, I'm dealing with this kind of attitude with my teenager right now, and I am just really struggling, and I just don't know how to. It seems like every time we talk, it ends in a fight and slam doors, and I'm frustrated, and she's upset, and I don't know what to do, and my spouse and I just are not on the same page, and I don't know what to do. And you're looking for any glimmer of hope. And really, this is an opportunity for you to say, oh, man, yeah, I understand completely. And I'm sorry. I can sympathize and in some ways maybe empathize if that is you. I think of my stage of life right now where, you know, my kids are really young. And as much as I might not sleep sometimes, my wife would argue with that in case she's listening. She would say that I sleep through most everything. What's that running joke of the, like, man, maybe I should fall asleep on my husband's side because that must be the side that is soundproof. I look at the stage of life I'm in and I just say, I just look forward to a time where I can kind of wake up and just take it easy in the morning. And you have people that are in that stage of life and they look at where we are at right now and say, I miss that. You have no idea how fortunate and blessed you are to be in that. Like, those are golden days that you should treasure. And I'm sitting here like, I'm trying to treasure, and I would treasure them. But I just don't know what this looks like. So I need people that I can come alongside and to be able to not just vent to, but also receive the support that we're talking about here today, to allow that wisdom of those who have gone before to share with those of us who are in the trenches.
Yeah. That's a good word, especially about remembering to cherish the life stage that we're at right now. And I mean, this is just life. And I remember there was one children's book that I would not recommend, because it was like, this whole story was about, this was my last time that I held my kid. This was my last time kissing him goodnight. This was my last time seeing him at a baseball game, because the kid's growing up. And she's like, I wonder how much longer I would have let this linger if I would have known it was my last. And I just think about, like, my son, there have been lasts for him, you know, last diaper change. We can rejoice in that. Yay, you're old enough to wipe your own butt. That is a big, big thing. But life is hard. It's easy for us to want to go to the next thing so fast and to not pay attention to the moments that we're in now. Things like, you know, the preciousness of having a child wake you up at night, saying that they had a bad dream, to seek your comfort. I mean, there's good in that. I mean, that's an honor, right? You like, comfort me because I had this terrible dream that my bed was full of mushrooms. And it's like, are there? Like, this is kind of the joke in my family. I had someone say that is like, well, it's a good thing there aren't. Go back to bed. You know, don't come to daddy if you want mercy at 3 a.m. So they have learned to go to mom.
Not mushrooms.
Yeah, I know. Like, of all the things, it could have, there's worse. But anyways,
could have been broccoli.
That's important to be remembering, like, the things that we sometimes get fed up with might be the very things that we miss. You know, just there is something so precious about a baby's toothless grin, and it doesn't last very long, you know, or when they're in the stage where they're just like giving you a full open mouth, drooly wet faced kiss. And like, you're like, oh, this is kind of gross, but they don't do that forever. And, you know, eventually they get to a point where you're kind of dumb and they would rather not be seen in public with you. So treasure these things. That's a good word.
Yeah, we're entering into sentimental mode here is what we're doing.
Okay, back to the topic.
So how do you begin as a leader to form this kind of group?
This one, I would say, is going to be an equal amount of work, if not more, at the front end to create less work in the back end. And what I mean by that is to really start something like this, you have to know your people. And that takes time. Like, you're not going to know who's going to be the people that had an experience walking through an eating disorder unless you get to know these people and you get to know their stories and you get to know their struggles, right? You might not hear about the child that's going through an eating disorder currently unless you get to know the family and they trust you and they're willing to share these hard things with you. You can't force yourself into these things. They're often holy invitations that God prepares you for, in a sense. So I think that's probably stage one. Really get to know your congregation, and not just the students and not just the student families, but the grandparents that are there, you know, the people who's got kids that are out of the house. That's huge, because once you start to be able to understand people's stories, that's when you can start making those connections and helping facilitate some of those relationships.
Yeah. And what a privilege to receive that invitation in.
Yeah.
Like, to have people come out and say, I would like to talk to you about this. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, if you are in need of support. I want to give you a word of encouragement. Like, you have no idea, I think, the willingness sometimes of the people around you to be that kind of support system for you. Man, yeah, again, just what a privilege to be on the receiving end of that inquiry, to be viewed as a lifeline for that family.
And I'll go as far as say this too. You might be perceived as a blessing to extend that to a family as well, you know, for your own care, for your own needs, because you guys, we're people too. And there are times where we are out of our elements. And this is like the humility that we come to this, recognizing we're not the professionals with all the answers. Sometimes these groups are for us, and we need to have people walk with us through these challenging times. Maybe it's going to be like a youth ministry thing where you have other youth workers who've been through the seasons of really challenging, discouraging ministries. Maybe it is your own congregation where you're just like, I feel like I'm failing as a parent, and or I'm failing in this other thing. And to be able to have people walk with you through that too. And that's going to be huge too, because if you can show and model humility and vulnerability, you really will create an environment, I think, where that is open to thrive, because people see you modeling it and people see that your heart is humble. And I think that humility and that this is something that takes a lot of trust, because in order to have this kind of setting, you really are trusting that people are going to be able to share difficult things and not like put it out on Facebook the next day. Like, oh man, I thought my experience with Jimmy was bad, but this family, their kid's a real loser. What a schmuck, right?
Well, I mean, because we are talking about small ministries.
Yeah.
So that does, that can happen.
And even just in conversation about, you know, this person's family or whatever the case may be. So it does have a high regard or high need for integrity. And that's something you'd want to be from the upset. And I'd say clarify as you're starting, clarify the purpose, clarify the intent, and clarify the expectation to say, this is a group that we exist to support one another through these challenges. And due to the nature of these challenges, what is said here will stay here unless it is something that we need to act upon by law. From the get-go, just so that everyone's on the same page. And that is something that if that is breached, that needs to be taken very seriously. Because once you've broken trust, it is so hard to build trust back. And so I'll leave that up to you guys, new listener, to figure out how you do that, you know, if that were to happen. But at the same time, like you pointed to, this is a very scriptural thing that we can look at doing with our families, supporting them and bearing their burdens.
So how would you go about inviting yourself into that from the outside coming into the family?
Like, if you're already aware of a situation, you're saying?
Like, if you're aware of that, right, to be able to say, hey, I know this is going on, and I don't want to, I just picture, like, sometimes there's a little bit of a desire for secrecy and discretion from the family. And to be a leader who sees, like, hey, I acknowledge that this is happening, and I don't want you to be alone. But there's also a sense of, like, I don't want to overstep, but I also want to be I also want to be doing the things that God instructs me to be doing.
Yeah.
And I'd love to be that for you.
That's
so
a great
question.
How
would you go about jumping into that?
I would think that this would be kind of the route that I would take. If a family approached me with an issue that was that serious, right? They've already invited you in. And there's been a couple of times that's happened. If I'm aware of a family that has gone through something like that before and is in a solid place now, one of the things that I might simply do is talking to the first family that started the process, that initiated, and say, hey, you've shared this with me. I thank you for your trust. I thank you for your courage. And I want to walk with you through this. But I also recognize that I don't really know, like, this isn't something that I've lived. And I know there's some people who have lived through this. Would you want me to check with them to see if they'd be willing to sit down and have a conversation sometime just about their experience? I know that they'd love to support you, and they might have some really encouraging things to share with you, and just to help your perspective as you're in the middle of the storm and they've kind of passed through it. And if they say no, you don't force it. You'd leave it there, right, and maybe revisit that, you know, a couple weeks, month, a couple so later. But if they do say yes, then you can like approach that next family that you know of and say, hey, I've got someone who's going through this. I know you guys have had some similar experience. Would you be willing to share what God has brought you through? Man. And if this is a family that's in the church, that is a solid family, I had hoped that they'd have the perspective of like, yeah, God has brought us through this. God has redeemed this. I'm willing to testify and share, even though it's hard. Mm-hmm. And then it's just a matter of setting up a time for those to be together. And there might be like a couple families that could benefit in the same vein from that one that will share. And so this is another positive of this, is that this really brings the church together. This brings like the different generations together. This brings real ministry outside of you. And I think that's a really healthy thing. To be able to hand this off and to just engage with it in that setting.
Hmm. That's tremendous. I think, yeah, the opportunity, I really appreciate the chance that we have to have testimonies during our worship service. It's something that I wish we did kind of more of. We were more comfortable of inviting people to be a part of, or even as people to share, hey, this is my story of God being at work, and I want to be able to celebrate what God has done. And I think even of some testimonies that we've had, we had a guy come and share his testimony at our church and say, I don't have the answers to why God had this happen. And I think it might have been Hunter Pinky, actually, is his name. He's in a wheelchair, and he's paralyzed in a ski accident. And he said, I don't know why or the whole purpose, and I'm in the middle of this journey, but I do have my faith in God, and I know he's going to take care of me. Mm-hmm. So even if that is your testimony, know that that is still A, valid, B, appreciated, C, something that ought to be shared publicly on more than one occasion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a great plug for like having public testimonies be a part of something that you do in ministry too. And that's something that I need to incorporate somehow. I know I had done that in the past, but I haven't really had a good place to plug those in. But yeah, I mean, even just that person in a wheelchair, I forget the name, but a testimony that says, I still have my problem, but God is still good, is so important for our students today to counteract how many times they hear the message that God wants you to have everything in this life go well, so that our students' hearts are pulled more to this life than the life to come. And this world's not our home. And something like that points us to the fact that there's something better, there's something more. God is still good, even though I have hard things that I'm going through.
Even though, and especially.
Yeah. And in the midst of that, like Johnny Erickson Todd is another person that just has so much to say about this. And some fun quotes, like one of them I think was she said that she wants to bring her wheelchair with her to heaven. Because she's like, there's so much that I've learned. God, you've done so much in me. You've humbled me. You've broken me through this. And now, kindly, if I may, can I throw this into hell now? And so, you know, it's kind of that fun balance. But her story is amazing as far as just similarly God using tragedy for that. So this is kind of heavy as far as where this ended up going. And I want to say that there's value of bringing parents together to discuss things too. Even in a lighter setting, just like, man, what do we do about like our kids playing video games all day? Or what do we do about so-and-so topic? And maybe you just need a place to kind of find ideas to prompt discussions. And I'd point you to maybe some D6 material there that you could sit down and do together. That's kind of similar to what we talked about last week with youth culture and stuff, but this is maybe more family ministry oriented. But yeah, be encouraged. Bring people together and know that God has power in that as well. Anything else, Dan?
You know, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. That's another reference.
I was looking at your face and I was, yep.
All right.
So, yeah, we won't. Yeah. Okay. Just go in peace and serve the Lord already. Talk to you guys later.
Thanks for listening to Flyover Ministry. You can find, follow, and give feedback on our Instagram and Facebook pages at Flyover Ministry. You can also get in contact with us on our Gmail account, flyoverministrypodcast@gmail.com. You can find other episodes that we've recorded on iTunes and Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and please feel free to share them with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.